And now, making his way to the ring, it's the Crazy Greek! Welcome to the Crazy Greek WWE Podcast, available wherever you want to listen. Please like, subscribe, and rate it 5 stars. What a crazy week it was in WWE following the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Now, first we're going to talk about the Elimination Chamber and then talk about things that happened this week in WWE. I know I gave a lot of predictions about Elimination Chamber. Many of them I put my lock and seal of approval on. I do have to admit, I was wrong. I didn't think Finn Balor could win the championship, and he's shocked me. And I'm surprised WWE put the title on him. It's as if Vince is finally listening to the fans, and great for Finn Balor to win the title. And another prediction that I was totally wrong on, Miz and Shane McMahon losing the titles. I was floored and stunned when that happened. I could not believe that they got the titles taken from them already. And it's unbelievable, but, you know, I'm likely to see them turn on each other. But as we find out this week on Tuesday night's episode of SmackDown, that they get a rematch. So it's interesting to see what WWE is going to do here. And what shocked me even more was Jimmy Uso's arrest, and then they put the title on him. So that even shocked me even more. But Elimination Chamber, all in all, was a great show. One guy I want to give my Crazy Greek seal of approval and acknowledge the performance he put on was Kofi Kingston. He did an excellent job and really gave a great performance, and how organically the fans just seem to look up to this guy and admire him, and it's so organic. It's just a breath of fresh air. And if WWE decides to ever throw that title on him, it would be amazing. You know, what a WrestleMania moment, in my opinion, if he were to get the title. You know, and let's talk about the women's tag titles. Yeah, Sasha Banks and Bayley won. But you know what I'm saying is obvious, you know, and I feel like it took away from the moment. Maybe that's just my opinion. I've nothing against those two other than Bayley's finisher. I feel like it looks super weak, especially when she does it on bigger opponents. But I wish WWE had done something differently here rather than just putting it on the obvious choice. But as you see on SmackDown, Mandy Rose does beat Asuka, so it's interesting to see. Maybe they're pushing her in as a singles competitor. Maybe they don't want to push her as a tag team right away. And, you know, I can't fault it. I mean, it is a new title, so putting it on somebody that people can get their backs around, I get the move. But in my opinion, it was like the obvious choice. And one thing that you will find out is the Crazy Greek does not like obvious. He likes shock. He likes awe. You know, it's not about, oh, what's going to give us the best ratings. I love pops. I want that pop. You know, you want to hear it. You want to hear that pop. You want to hear that crowd roar. And, you know, whenever you have opportunity in WWE to get that crowd roar, I feel like you got to go after it. And in my opinion, they've missed out on plenty of opportunities. You know, it's like this week when they bring up the new NXT superstars. I just feel like having Triple H come out and announce that we're going to see them on the show, it like ruins the pop rather than just hearing their music hit. And then you're shocked, you know. And I'm just shocked that they brought them up in kind of a bad crowd in Louisiana. I mean, these are not your hardcore fans. These are your kids, and it just was not the crowd to bring them up with. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. You know, tell me if you agree or not. But I tend to agree that you got to do this with your diehards and your bigger markets, you know, from Chicago, maybe in Chicago, you know, when I'm at the Raw. Who am I to say? I don't control anything. But supposedly, from what I heard, it was not supposed to be like that. It was a late decision, and it's, to me, in my opinion, a ratings grab, you know? And I feel like having Roman Reigns come next week is also a ratings grab, you know? Yeah, maybe to give an update, that's great, but, you know, it's kind of those things where, like, they see their ratings going and they announce it so far ahead of time where it's like, oh, everybody's going to tune in because they want to hear Roman Reigns. And, you know, it's nothing against Roman Reigns. I just feel like WWE is, like, reaching too much. AEW is kind of, like, tickling at their skin a little, and they're going, what should we do? What should we do? What should we do? But, you know, they have to do this stuff. You know, ratings is where they make their money. You know, they gotta get these TV deals. One thing about Elimination Chamber that I really liked was I felt the crowd was into it. And I'm shocked they didn't put the tag team titles as the main event. But then after seeing Kofi Kingston's performance and everything, I agreed with it. Because it was such an obvious choice of where they put the titles, it made sense to kind of place them where they place them. Because, you know, you get the obvious out, and then they just shocked you. They had those two title changes that you're like, whoa, what's going on here? And that's what shocked me the most. You know, I literally was stunned. My mouth was wide open because I didn't expect it. You know, and like I said, I love that when things happen that you don't expect. And I was really shocked at Lashley, you know, after the match. Of course, he was mad at Leo Rush, and he slammed him. And then you come to Raw, oh, and they're buddies again. You know, it's like, whatever, you just lost your title, dude. Like, it should take longer than that for forgiveness, or at least show us why you forgave him. One thing I didn't like was Ricochet's coming in to save Finn Balor. I felt like that was not a good spot for Ricochet. You know, why would he save Finn Balor? Why would he come in and defend Finn Balor? I mean, Finn Balor should be a guy that he wants to fight for that title. And I was really shocked that they didn't bring Ricochet in to do that. Like, I think a Finn Balor-Ricochet fight would be awesome. And I hope, you know, they said they're getting rid of the automatic rematch clause. If that's the case, then get rid of Finn Balor and Lashley now. It's over. Lashley goes to the end of the line. You got new blood up there. Do something with it. And that's just my opinion on that. And I really hope that they do get rid of that feud. Because Lashley, just him and Finn Balor, it's like, eh, I've seen it already. And Miz and Shane losing the titles really, really shocked me. I'm interested to see where they go here. I suspect that they turn on each other, but you never know. It's one of those situations where you just don't know where WWE is going to go. And that was the other shocker of the pay-per-view. And I felt like the women's match, everybody performed admirably except for Nia Jax and Tamina. I mean, is Nia Jax just going to miss spots and always just do things that make her terrible? Like, she's always missing spots. She's late. She's just careless. I mean, I know Bayley moved last second, and, you know, the pod, that I heard that was not supposed to happen. I heard that was a Nia Jax mistake, which, you know, it seems more and more prevalent that you get this, you know. And she's just so stiff in the ring. It just, oh, everybody's scared of her, but yet she can do little things, and it's fine, you know. Nothing, nobody's scared of her, you know. Oh, yeah, you're big and bad, but you need Tamina by your side. It just doesn't make sense to me. I really hope WWE does something different with her, because it's really getting annoying to watch her perform. And Tamina, I don't care if your dad wrestled. I don't care your family wrestled. You know, that was a terrible performance. I mean, you're just terrible. I hope you get cut. And when we get back from this break, I am going to talk about the new movie starring The Rock, Fighting With My Family. It's about Paige, and I viewed this movie today, and I will give my opinion on what I thought about this movie and everything going down with WWE this week. Stay tuned. All right, the Crazy Greek is back. And before break, we were talking about Fighting With My Family. It's a movie about Paige, and it's based off the documentary of how she had her WWE tryout and made it in her wrestling career. And I must say, very, very well done. It's just great seeing a movie with WWE in it. You know, I'm such a big fan, and I enjoyed seeing it. But it was sad to watch. That is because Paige is no longer wrestling because of her injuries, and she's still super young. And, you know, she was the youngest Divas champion, and it just reminds you of the great talent that was lost due to injury. I hope we get a Daniel Bryan situation where Paige comes back and wrestles. But, you know, that's just one of those things that is sad. And I hope they find a way to use Paige on TV more. I feel like she still has a lot she can bring to the table. You know, but it's just sad. You know, she's not wrestling, and the movie comes out, and it's very well done. And, you know, I know some parts were almost over-dramatized because I saw the original documentary, but it's a movie, and that's to expect. But I felt like it was very well done, and it gets your WWE juices flowing. It really does. So we're going to talk about Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Ricochet making their debuts this week. And Aleister Black making his debut. I just want to get your thoughts on what you think of them just sporadically just bring these guys up, you know? And I find it funny that, like, they just totally ignored the feud between Ciampa and Gargano and just put them together. It's just, you know, ignoring the whole year-long of NXT and just, you know, put them together as a tag team. But then you bring them on the show and, you know, first they get a win against the tag team champs on Monday night. And I'm like, you just put the titles on those tag team champs and you're going to put these guys over. I just feel like you shouldn't have done that. Put them in a match against a weaker tag team, build them up, that's fine. But against the tag champs, unless you're going to have them fight for the titles, you know, I just don't get the move. And like I said, Ricochet being with Finn Balor, I didn't like that. You know, you want to fight Finn Balor. Aleister Black coming in and fighting Elias. I don't know. I just feel like Elias gets the best crowd reactions week by week, and constantly to have him lose, and you just bring up Aleister against Elias. It's just a weird spot. I don't know. It just felt like things were rushed, and that's basically what I heard, is that these were not planned moves. You know, Vince and Triple H were kind of like split on the call-ups. And I'm shocked that they did them now as opposed to after WrestleMania. It's tough to bring guys up now this close to WrestleMania and get them in meaningful feuds for WrestleMania. So I'm very shocked that they did that. But it's interesting to see what WWE is going to do. I know we still got time. It will be interesting to see this Monday and Tuesday how they incorporate all this stuff. But, you know, the last batch of call-ups still has not generated anything. So that's what's annoying to me, is you're already bringing up the next set when the last set. I mean, you have Lacey Evans coming out and just strutting. Come on. And then to have Dozer coming out and doing the Bushwhacker walk following Lacey Evans. Get the hell out of here, you know. Heavy Machinery should not be following Lacey Evans doing that. Put them in matches. That's how you get these people out there. I mean, I know in the women's division you can't bury anybody. You don't have, like, the people to bury them with. But it's like, you know, why even bring them up here? Like, call this is why you have all these wrestlers who are on the main roster. They get called up and they ask for their release because you're bringing them up and they're just doing comedy acts. I mean, Dean Ambrose, same thing, wanted to do something better. He didn't want to be, oh, you guys all suck and all that. You know, he wanted a better role. Now, I'm making a prediction here that this is all a work on his release. But who knows? We'll find that out soon. But now I hear Ty Dillinger wants a release. You know, you had the Revival asking for releases. You know, you can't afford now to have everybody getting released. And just throwing money at them is not the problem because they're seeing now, look at Cody Rhodes making good money outside of WWE. You can push your brand. And I think a lot of people are realizing that now. So it's to the point where, like, you're getting booked as a joke. You need to find something else to do. That is just sad. And WWE's booking's been very shady as of late. And, you know, Monday Night Raw was, I think, one of their worst bookings of the year. You know, it's just constant. You know, you panic, you go for ratings, and things suffer. And you can't afford to have things suffer like that. You need to think things out. And I think WWE is thinking more short-term, and they're panicking rather than looking at the big picture, looking at where to go with things. I mean, they call people up, and I think they don't have plans for them. You know, and that's a problem. Like Lacey Evans, like she didn't even do anything in NXT, and now you just call her up to the main roster, and now you have her strut out there. How many times are we going to see her strut out there before we're like, okay, and then we hate her so much that we don't even care if she's on TV anymore? I'm already to that point where I don't even care if she's on TV anymore. Heavy Machinery, I like their matches. I mean, I might not be in the popular section with that, but I like their matches. I feel like they do some cool things. I feel like you should have brought them up and put them in meaningful tag team matches. That's your tag team division's the worst division. You don't have a lot of tag teams. That's why you keep formulating Miz and Shane to fight for these titles, because you have no tag teams. You have the same four tag teams constantly fighting for the titles, and it gets stale, boring, and everything. So I'm shocked that they did that with them. As we know, Lars Sullivan had some panic attacks and hasn't been at the tapings. And I'm hoping that he comes back and is strong, because I heard they're trying to put him in a feud with John Cena. But who knows if that's still the plan. I mean, Vince tends to lose favor with people very quickly. So it's interesting to see if he puts Lars Sullivan in a feud with John Cena, or if they scrap that plan. But it would be nice to see Lars. I mean, he's a big guy. You can bring him up, cause some destruction, and let's hope he gets his mental affairs in order, because that's the important thing. You know, we don't want any craziness. You're on the road all this time. You want to be mentally there. And just let me know what you think of these call-ups in Monday Night Raw, but I thought it was just a so-so show, you know. And yeah, I wish WWE would book better. I mean, the short-sightedness has to stop, and Vince has to look at the big picture. And maybe it's time for Triple H to kind of, you know, go in and run things. Because his product in NXT, I'm sorry, just everything just seems like fluid. Booking, matches, it just seems better. But one thing that I am very happy for on Monday Night Raw is DX getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, which means China will get inducted. Now, regardless of what you think of China and everything, you know, she had her problems. You know, she had her whatever with Stephanie, you know, because she was screwing Triple H. Triple H was screwing Stephanie while she was dating China. That's whatever. That's here and there. But it's great to see somebody who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame get there, you know. And I'm very happy for China. I just wish she was alive to see this moment, but she deserved it, and DX deserves it. They were one of my favorite factions growing up. I mean, they really got you into wrestling. I mean, yeah, you had Stone Cold, The Rock really got you into wrestling, but DX, I can't even tell you how many times, you know, we'd be in the basement wrestling, and we'd be like, suck it! You know, and we still, to this day, you know, it's just a catchphrase. And we still say Stone Cold 316 just whooped your ass as well, but, you know, and we're still saying smell my candy ass, we know rock stuff. Still doing all that stuff. So I guess, you know, all those people. But DX, man, great faction, and it's good for them to get in. I'm interested to see who else gets into the Hall of Fame this year. As you know, the Road to WrestleMania, they'll be releasing it every so often. When we come back from this break, I will talk more about SmackDown and give my final thoughts on this week in WWE. All right, before the break, the Crazy Greek was talking about the Raw this week, and now we're going to shift over to SmackDown. And SmackDown was a pretty good show. I mean, it starts off with, you know, obviously Charlotte dissing Becky and all that stuff. And, you know, they're just working on that feud. We know that's going to be a triple threat at WrestleMania. And that should be a great match. And then Shane and Miz come out and they talk about their loss. And Miz apologizes to Shane and says it's his fault for the loss. And then the Usos come out to put it in their face and make fun of them. And then Miz goes, Shane, you can use your power to get us a rematch. And that's exactly what happens. So Miz and Shane are getting a rematch. And it's interesting to see where they're going to go with this. My thoughts are that they will lose again. And somehow they will feud with each other. And that will be a match for WrestleMania. Shane versus The Miz. That's my thoughts on that. That's where I think WWE is going. It was nice to see Aleister Black face Andrade, kind of get like that whole NXT vibe. Great matches those two had in NXT, and I thought that was a perfect thing for those two. They put on a good match, and Aleister Black won in the end, and I just feel like they're going to push him more than they are pushing Andrade. I feel like Andrade, if he spoke English better, would get better push. But one thing that I laughed at during the match was seeing Zelina Vega come in the ring. And, you know, she's strutting her stuff. She looked good, as always. But she looks over at Aleister, and she kept her face straight. I was shocked. You know, for those of you who don't know, she is married to Aleister Black, and she's in Andrade's corner. So it's just kind of ironic to see that. And that just gave me a few little chuckles there. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa once again teamed up, and they faced the Bar. And it looks like that's where they're going to be in a feud with, as there has been a match announced for next Tuesday already that Ciampa is going to face Cesaro one-on-one, of course. And Gargano and Ciampa won this match as new call-ups. They're going to push them. It's interesting to see if they're going to put them in a feud versus the Bar, or if they're going to go after the tag team championships, how this is going to work, what they're going to do with these call-ups. But it's just interesting to see how they're using them. And like I said earlier, Asuka losing to Mandy Rose. I mean, I believe that maybe that's going to be her opponent. I don't see anybody better on the roster right now. They haven't really developed anything. Asuka's just kind of been thrown to the side. I mean, you have this huge feud on Raw with Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey. And this has just been put to the side. It's like kind of like, what do we have for Asuka? What do we have for Asuka? And Mandy Rose, I feel like she has the ability to up her game. I mean, she looks gorgeous. She's great on the mic. I just think her ring work needs some work. But they're putting her against Asuka. And I agree that they have to do that. They have nobody else. Now, whether she can beat Asuka, I mean, she beat her on SmackDown. But, of course, everybody beats everybody on the, and then the pay-per-views, they get their ass kicked. So you never know. But that match was okay. You know, good angle. They're trying to develop some things for WrestleMania in that sense. Ricochet versus Eric Young Once again, it's just a spot for Ricochet where I go, why the hell are you putting him in? He's such a high flyer, such a good opponent, such a good fighter. To put him versus Eric Young, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, let's bring Eric Young back on the TV and show people sanity still here. You know, where have they been? You haven't done anything since they called up. And now, you know, you bring up Ricochet, and now you're going to have him fight Eric Young. Like, come on. Next week, from what I'm told, Ricochet and Aleister Black are going to team up against... let me see who it's against. Oh, Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, it's like, okay. It's just throwing these guys out there just to get some exposure. You need to start building feuds. And WWE tends to do this where they, like, bring people up. And this is why, you know, they end up not doing much. And when you bring up these NXT guys, because you just throw them in matches. Meaningless matches. I mean, a lot of people watch WWE not for the matches. And I like it because it's like a soap opera for grown men. You know, it's every week it's something different. And I like the storytelling. And I feel like WWE brings somebody up and they go, oh, we got to put them in matches so the kids know who they are. But then the diehard fans are like, well, there's no story or anything behind them. And they lose traction, you know. It's like there's no substance. You know, a match with no substance is just the same moves you've seen over and over again. What makes it great where you get those pops and this is awesome chance are when you have substance building to the matches. That's why you see the main eventers. So they got the biggest storylines. It's not that they have the best moves. You know, some of them do. But, like, we like to have storylines. And I feel like you're just putting these guys in random feuds. They mean nothing with generic people. It's not going to work out. So I'm hoping WWE does a better job and puts them in meaningful feuds. And it's kind of weird to see Kofi Kingston get cheered so loud like he was in that six-man tag match. And it was great to see him pin Daniel Bryan again. And I just feel like they should stop with the six-man tag teams and just get rid of it. And thank God Shane came out at the end and said Kofi's fighting Daniel Bryan at the next pay-per-view because it was starting to get annoying. I really wish they would stop that six-man stuff. And, you know, everybody wants their chance. You know, it's not going to happen. So I'm looking forward to that match with Kofi Kingston. Maybe they might put the title on him, but, you know, I just can't see that happening. But it would be great for Kofi, great for WWE if they would put the title on him. And I'm just interested to hear your thoughts on that. Yeah, SmackDown was okay this week. You know, nothing too shabby. You know, you're on your road to WrestleMania now, so it's kind of like, just get through the motions, set up feuds. Fastlane's kind of that forgotten pay-per-view. It's like, you know, yeah, it's there, it's a pay-per-view, but there's really nothing big that's going to happen. I mean, most of your feuds are set for WrestleMania, the big ones, and we'll see how WWE manages to pave their way to WrestleMania, and hopefully it's a great WrestleMania. And until next Saturday, the Crazy Greek says, 1, 2, 3. It's tax season and you need to get your taxes done. Parson Associates is the place to get them done. Please go online at parhascpas.com to schedule your appointment today. Don't miss out. Get in early so you get them done on time. You have just listened to an episode of the WWE Crazy Greek Podcast. Please like, subscribe, and rate 5 stars.